In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a story once told about a nun who gave much and prayed often. She loved good. Because of the cause of her faithfulness, she was able to speak into people's lives in such a beautiful and piercing way. And she could even predict the future. And whatever she predicted, it was always true. And so needless to say, the time went on, her fame grew. And as her fame grew, Jared's authority to the church was continually tested to make sure that what she did was authentic and deemed of God. Her fame grew and grew, and finally one day, she received a visit from the great bishop of the land. And the bishop said to the nun, "Sister, I've heard these incredible things, but I have to test you again to make sure that what you do is of God." Okay, so I've defined many very difficult questions to you. I want you to go and trust yourself and pray and answer. Good and kind to encourage all of us. Answered beautifully and correctly. He was amazed. He said, "But now, when I gave the most difficult question to the last, you were to tell me of my most grievous sin. Now, confess the sin, for the only one that knows, I myself, my confessor, and God alone." And she went away to pray a long time to return. He inquired of her regarding his most grievous sin, and she replied, "Cannot tell you." He said, "Aha! You are not able." He said, "Your grace," he said, "you confess it in honor of the contrition and the prostitution. Therefore, God does not own it." And I share that story, the feel of the story, about God's forgiveness and God's loving kindness and being to us in the scriptures. But wrath is double wrath. The Lord's Prayer and the parable of the day, the unforgiving servant, they throw this into this beautiful, high and sky thing. Because they never suggest God's forgiveness to us and our forgiveness with one another. Oh, no. And that's the difficult thing. Forgiveness is interesting. It's one of the few things that Jesus commanded. He didn't command very much, but he commanded us to forgive. Christians have that in common. There might be differences in the way we worship, differences in our theology, but all Christians are commanded to forgive one another. And that's why we need to talk. I don't know what Christianity would look like. It would not be the Christianity we know if we didn't have that command to forgive. But one of the problems is that our notion of forgiveness is often trite and elementary and simplistic. To forgive is simply to forgive and forgive to conjure warm feelings for those who wrong you. But that's fine with all that happens to you of a shopping cart actually in a relationship. Or maybe from a shopping cart you can try. But much beyond that, and the trite elementary and simplistic definition is humble. As often is said that many of us put principles to go at all about the third grade. And so those who like the third grade Christian education. But the problem is, when you face the complexities and daunting difficulties of life, so often that third grade formation crosses. It cannot hold up. So forgiveness, though commanded and wonderful, gives such purpose in life, it's not even the all known. I share a story with you that place of faith. And encapsulated a moment of full sense of forgiveness for me. Long time ago, when I was a young priest, I visited a couple who had gotten married late in life and had children late in life. And they were the best parents I've ever seen. They had three or four children. And one day I was at their home and they were talking out praying, and I had a moment to find myself, the wife, and I talked to them and I said, "You all are the best parents I've ever seen. You can't be your children. Are just so blessed and easy to forgive your faith all." She said, "Thank you for the compliment. It means more to me than you will ever know. But you see, I had these challenges. I was taken away from me when I was a child. I was what we would call now abused. Well, we didn't have that word when I was a child. I didn't know the difference between emotional health issues and all these other things. I just absorbed the horror happening. They have a movie that people do not read about, much less experience. It took away my childhood, and I thought it would take away my life. But I came across Christianity as a demon. I came across the concept of forgiveness, which at first was a block to me. To explain what that meant, I would propose that probably that's an implicit elementary notion of forgiveness. And she said, I came to know what forgiveness was with the story of the fall. Jesus, the people that were killing him and persecuting him, and kept accusing him and praying him, he gave the cross. And she said, that I tried to do. I gave the people that hurt me to God. And so I don't, now I don't have the energy vampire of having to take vengeance or revenge. I just gave them to God. I can't forget it. I will always have damage. But I gave them to God. But now I broke the curse through the forgiveness of God. Now I can conquer my life and become whole. And she said, that there is one of her children. That's the story of the church. Never cried. And so forgiveness sounds biblical. The mature rooted into forgiveness. And so Christianity is all of God. And then I just have 2 points for today, or the fairly short sermon about forgiveness. Number one is that forgiveness is a journey. It's not just an end in and of itself. It's a journey that we all walk. And yet another Christian once said, another Christian said something so beautiful. We have to practice forgiveness almost to the extent of that model. And this person said, you know, I might not finish my process of forgiveness because it's difficult for me, but I'm going to try. And if all I get in a short life is 60%, I have all doubt that the grace of the Lord and the blood of Jesus will cover the rest. Isn't that beautiful? If we are faithful, we just do what we can to try. God will bless that and do that. And think of the prodigal son, the father running to meet his son as he comes up the road. That's the law of God, running to meet us and trying to practice forgiveness. And then lastly, forgiveness doesn't just work and bless the person that say they're doing the forgiving, or also the person perhaps that we ask to give this wrong. It's also for the world. It flavors the world. This is what a different Christianity can give. I mentioned often that they have visited every day coming to the church, and often they get tears. They're so blessed the minute they come in. And yes, because of the beauty, yes, because of the history, but also because for 175 years, this has been a paradise that is strong. We have more successful than others to forgive and practice forgiveness. And when Christians practice forgiveness, it flavors the world. It heals the world. And I look at the news this week, the Jews and Gaza. And Gaza and natural disasters and war and politics. And well, our faith is constantly in trouble. That the Christians who forgive give a gift to the world. They have a hope to you. And so what a beautiful thing we can make as individuals, but also the parish family. To be the people who try to gain the life of forgiveness, as difficult as it is. The chemical that also brings such joy and peace and purpose in life. My brothers and sisters, it helps to soothe and heal our present world. And we continue to be a pair of the people of the world.